Welcome to the teachings of Pastor Mike Yost of the Springs Calvary Chapel in Habern, Idaho. Please join us as we study the Word of God.
Hello, Springs family. I'm Pastor Mike.
And I'm Frankie Ortega.
And we're here for another Bible study. This time we'll be in the book of Daniel in chapter 6. And so we'd encourage you to get your Bibles out and follow along as we look to see what God's Word has to say to us today. But first, Frankie, would you open us in prayer?
Sure. Lord, thank you that you are on your throne. Thank you, Lord, that demons and principalities tremble at your name. Lord, we thank you that you love us and you have died for us. You've given yourself for us. Would you just fill us with courage, Lord, with faith, with love for our people and our families? And would you just watch over us, we pray. And would you give us understanding of your word as we read today? In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So we're in the book of Daniel. We've chosen chapter 6. I believe God chose it for us. And here we are right in the midst of this whole coronavirus epidemic. And it seems like every day something changes, new laws and all those kinds of things. And I believe there's a lot we can learn from Daniel. So let's go ahead and take a look at it. Beginning in chapter 6 and verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm.
So the first question that arises, since we're starting in chapter 6 in the middle of Daniel, who is King Darius and who is Daniel and why are they important?
Well, that is good to know, right? Mm-hmm. Who are these people? We've looked in the book of Daniel, and this happens at a time of what's known as the Babylonian exile, when God was judging Israel and took Israel away to be captive in Babylon for 70 years. Now, it started out with Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the first deportation. And we read about that in the first handful of chapters under King Nebuchadnezzar. And it's interesting that in that time, Daniel and his friends distinguished themselves amongst all the others. And again, we see that in chapter 5, how there's a special spirit upon Daniel that distinguishes him amongst the others. But at this point right now, according to Nebuchadnezzar's vision of this statue, there was this huge statue, a head of gold, chest and arms of silver, belly of bronze and legs of iron. And we saw that the first one was the kingdom of Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar. But just in chapter 5, just previous to where we're at, that kingdom fell. And we saw that, and a new kingdom is now on the scene. It's the kingdom of the Medo-Persians, that chest of silver and two arms. And while it's a inferior metal to gold, we see that now Darius, the new king, is setting up his new empire. So he's bringing in these satraps, or basically governors over a certain region, and Daniel, who we call a governor, with three others. And so Darius is the new king in town under the new empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, and Daniel is rising to prominence amongst them.
Thanks. One thing that I noticed and that spoke to me is that in verse 3 it says, Daniel was distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. I just think it's...
Amen. I love that too. And I really think that's so important to not only this chapter, but all the book of Daniel, is that while we're looking at these kingdoms and these principalities and these powers, right? And everybody loves the story of Daniel. It's got so much political rivalry and intrigue, and there's vanity and there's virtue and all these things in there. We never want to miss that Daniel had a special spirit, that he had set himself apart to God. And this is why we're going to see the story turn the way it is. It's not who's the king. It's not who's the government. It's not what the law is. It's who's the king of king. And what does his word say? And Daniel is a man of God's word. So going on, picking up at verse 4, we read, So then the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there an error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." And so you can see, this is new empire. There's these new people in position, kind of like in the United States. We have an election and there's a new administration. New people are put into position, and there's always this struggle for power, and these guys are struggling for power. And yet the king has the idea, his thought, that he wants Daniel to be the boss of all of them. They've got to come up with some kind of conspiracy to overthrow Daniel so they don't have to be subject to Daniel. And yet they can't find anything wrong with him. The guy's good. He's flawless, right? They can't bring any charges against him unless somehow they get him based on his faith, based on his law of God that he follows and obeys. So it says in verse 6, "So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said to him, 'Thus, King Darius, live forever.'" You got to like the flattery. Pay attention to the flattery. "All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter." Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree.
Yeah. Wow. So a question that arises is, well, I think that arises, is why are these people doing this to Daniel? What has he done to them?
He hasn't done anything to them, but, you know, it's human nature, and, you know, I hate to take a stab at politicians, but this is politics. This is one party trying to get power over the other party, and it's almost like watching the debates. You know, when we have the presidential election, they're all picking at each other till they can thin everybody out and they can rise to the top. I think it's just human nature at play here. And so they use this law against the king and against Daniel to try to get Daniel out of power and try to, in some ways, promote them into power. It is interesting. It says they all consulted together, but they're actually lying because Daniel wasn't part of this consultation, right? And it's funny how they can spin the truth to fit what they're trying to sell. But as it happened, they flattered Darius, and he bought it hook, line, sinker, and signed it into law. So moving on, verse 10. "Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days."
I love how the Bible is so applicable to our lives. Verse 10, it kind of just speaking to us as even today, right? He went home and he prayed.
Talk about applicable. We've just heard our governor, Brad Little, come out and declare an extreme emergency declaration regarding the coronavirus that everybody should stay home. And so now, as of the time that we're doing this study, as God would give us these verses, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what does he say he did?
Went home.
He went home. And, you know, I know a lot of us are kind of in an uproar today. What should we do? Do we honor the governor? Do we honor the law of the land? Do we honor God? Do we still continue gathering together in worship? And I think it's interesting that Daniel just kept doing what he had done since his early days, and he went home and he prayed. He opened his windows to Jerusalem. That's what Solomon said when he dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles 6, that would be a place people could pray towards and God would hear their prayers. And so Daniel is praying as he has always done, three times a day. He's not changing his practices, but I love it that he did it at home. And I think this is one of the things in this, all of this confusion about the coronavirus and churches and whether our doors will be open or closed. You know, from the book of Genesis, church has always been at home. It should be at home 7 days a week. That's where we feed on the Word of God. That's where we pray to God. That's where we worship together as families. And Daniel went home when he saw the writing, and he continued home church. You know, we see it in Joshua. Remember what he said, you know, choose for yourself this day what you would do. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we see all the way through the New Testament, they gathered in homes. And yes, there's a place for corporate gatherings, right? They would come together as a group, or maybe they would meet at the temple. You know, here we might meet at church on Sunday mornings, or we might go to the Harvest Crusade and go someplace, something like that, have these big meetings. And there's going to come a day we go to heaven, and that's going to be big church, when the whole church is gathered. But church really fundamentally starts in the home.
This verse reminds me of when Jared would tell us at CBI and at his church, read your Bible and pray every day.
Amen. Amen. Good advice, right? And so here we are in a 21-day stay-at-home mandate from the government. And boy, what a great time to read our Bible and to pray every day, right? And work on those things. Interesting little side note. You know that Daniel was in Babylon because God had put him on a timeout. Daniel does say that he read from Jeremiah that they were there because God had sent them there to be punished because of their idolatry. And it says in Jeremiah in chapter 29, verse 10, they were going to be there for 70 years. For every year that they didn't honor the seven-year Sabbath, for 490 years, they were going to have a timeout. So, you know, how many of us haven't honored our Sabbaths? And I don't know, you know, we look at the days that we're living in, pestilence and famine and wars and the end time scenario. And, you know, if God has chosen to punish this nation, Jeremiah would say, don't go away from it. Allow God to do this punishment on you, and you're going to come through this thing okay. And I think Daniel had that idea. So when he got heard the writing was there, he went home. He prayed. You don't see him going to a tizzy. He just went to the Lord. So going on in verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed.
So these guys got what they wanted. Shocker, right? And what I noticed is a little interesting is that the king was greatly displeased with himself. Could you just tell us a little bit about that?
Well, sure. You know, if I was the king, I'd be displeased with them. They snookered me, right? I'm upset because they pulled a swift one over me and got me to sign this law. And now here I am in this position that I have to take the guy who I was going to make my vice president and I have to throw him to the lions. And so the king is very upset with himself for being fooled. It's interesting how these people, when they talk about Daniel, they talk about him as a captive or one of the somebody from Judah, and how, you know, it's so prejudiced and so self-serving for themselves. But at the end of the day, the king has to obey the law that he made, and so he's got himself in a pickle. So moving on in verse 16. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed.
I love the fact that King Darius notices who Daniel is and who he serves. He says, who you serve continually, he will deliver you.
Right. You know, we see this faith and coming forward, right? There's that vanity of him that he's flattered and tricked, but there's also virtue in him. And obviously, I think that virtue really springs from Daniel's virtue, that he saw a special spirit in Daniel, and it impacted him. It's interesting how often we wonder, you know, as Christians, we want to vote for the right person, the right government, somehow that everything's going to be better if we're, quote, a Christian nation, a Christian government. But the government's downstream from the church. We need to be the salt and light. We need to be the ones to influence. And I think Daniel here has influenced Darius. And so Darius recognizes, man, you're God. He's the one that's going to save you. In spite of everything I, the king, the government, the laws have done, your king, the King of Kings, is on the throne. He's the one that's going to see you through all this.
Something that we could point out as well is not only did the king put a signet, but all those who conspired this event, they are going to be accountable for putting them in the lion's den.
Right, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Once they had set that rule, they had to live by it too. And so it's so much it harkens to Jesus, right? As he was placed in the tomb and the Jewish rulers said, let's put a guard on it. And they put a seal on it so that nobody could say anything different, that Jesus was buried just like he was supposed to be. And yet on the third day he rose again. And here Darius is signing it and saying, the rest of you guys, you need to seal it too. And we'll see. It's almost a showdown. Between Daniel's God and these guys. Verse 18, now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. And so, you know, what does he do? He spends the evening fasting and praying, and he's awake. It says his sleep went from him. And I think, you know, it's such a cool thing for us. How many times are we woken up in the middle of the night? Because we've got something bothering us. And so, you know, the remedy, go get warm milk or you pace or whatever. It's like, pray. If God's woke you up in the middle of the night, talk to him.
Right.
And so it says in verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Right?
Yeah.
And I like that, right? You know, Darius, he's not accustomed to praying to Yahweh God, but he's here. Are my prayers answered? And how many times do we pray and wonder if God is hearing our prayers?
Right.
And yet he still is faithful in the prayer, right? Even though in our hearts we don't always see the answer, we can know God is hearing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you might not see the answer right away.
Yeah, it reminds me of, and it just shows us and reminds me that he's pouring out his heart. And that's what God calls us to do right now. We see his passion, his zeal to see the good come out of this. And that's what we should be doing, pouring out our hearts to God.
Yeah, God doesn't ask us to pray a perfect prayer, but a passionate prayer. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And this is Darius. He's praying with his whole heart. So verse 21, then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God.
Yeah, that's awesome. Can I share something?
Sure, yeah.
And I like to point out that in verse 14, it describes King Darius as being greatly displeased with himself, so he was very sorrowful. But in verse 23, it says he was exceedingly glad. He saw the Lord answer his prayer.
I love that, right? How we see so often from one moment to the next, how our emotions can change and our vision of what's going on around us, our perspective can change so radically from one night to the next morning.
Mm-hmm. This reminds me that it was just the other day where I was reading through these lyrics and they were just speaking directly to my heart. One of the lines in this song is, "The work is finished, the end is written." And it just helped me to understand, let's take some steps back, Frankie. Look at this from the eternal perspective. That number one, God, He has written this all out. Before the foundations of the earth, He knew all that was going to happen, even what's happening this very day. And also, that His love does not change. And in this song it says, "Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning." And how a moment of pain is not worthy to be compared to the glory that's awaiting us.
Right, the agony of that night of staying up and praying for his dear friend who was hoodwinked, and here he's facing certain death by the lions, and yet in the morning, right? What does Jeremiah say in Lamentations? "Your mercies are new every morning," right? And how quickly we can get our eyes off of God and, like Peter walking on water, look at the wind and the waves and the billows and take our eyes off God. But God's there, and He'll reach down. He'll grab us. He'll pull us out. And I think that's a lesson that Darius is learning here. In fact, I think we're going to see him talk about it in a couple verses. So verse 24, "And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them and their children and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den."
Wow, that's pretty intense. Could you just explain why the children and their wives were thrown with the people?
Well, for starters, we kind of want to look at this. Remember the context of what this is. There's a new empire being built. There are new people putting in positions of power. And there's these dynasties being established. And so these people of power and position were building their dynasties. And to do so, they were taking out Daniel and they were disrespecting Darius. And so now it's coming back upon them. You remember in the book of Genesis, when Joseph was cast into a pit and sold into slavery and went through all kinds of terrible things until he was able actually to save those brothers who had thrown him in the pit. And we read that he says, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." And how sometimes we can see these things changed around. What you, the pit that you dug, is the same one you fall into. It's like the story of Haman in the book of Esther, where he built these huge gallows he hoped to hang the Jews upon. But Haman himself, in the end, was hung on the gallows that he built. And sometimes, you know, we plot an evil thing, and that's the same thing that's going to come and take us out. And that's what happened to these people. Those dynasties were destroyed. They were no longer a threat to Darius and the Medo-Persian Empire.
Thanks.
Going on then, we see Darius and his great exclamation of what's going on here. "Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, 'Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian."
That's awesome, because this king, he essentially put Daniel in the lion's den because he was tricked, and then he turns into praise.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of interesting. These are all, these words in chapter 6, they're actually written in Aramaic. They're written in the language of the kingdoms of these days, just as King Nebuchadnezzar wrote a portion of scripture after he was restored to sanity and praised God and acknowledged him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here we have another king who comes to that same recognition that while they might sit on the throne of the empire of Medo-Persia, King of Kings Jesus sits on the throne of all of our hearts. And I just like that. One of the things, and I think it's comforting to me, here it says, "For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end." You know, and here we are in this time where we're wondering with the stay-at-home, quarantine-type things and all these things, what's going to happen to the church? And, you know, the body of Christ is not going to be damaged by 3 weeks off. Mm-hmm. In fact, God gave the children of Israel 70 years off, okay, because he had work to do in them. He was trying to bring them back to him. And Jesus would even say of the church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's Jesus's church. Mm. And nothing that the satraps and governors, nothing that the laws of this land can do can stop the body of Christ from flourishing and prospering, especially in these days.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's go ahead, if you would, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll close this out.
Sure. Let's pray. Well, thank you, God, that you do not leave us, nor will you ever forsake us. And thank you that we have you as our living hope and that we're going to see you one day, maybe very soon, Lord. And we just thank you that you've given us your word. You've given us direction. You've given us forgiveness of our sins. What's better than that? Lord, your presence is better than anything in this world. Would we just draw close to you in this time? Thank you, Lord, for the promise that you will draw close to us. Would we just fall on our knees, humble our hearts, Lord, and come to you. Thank you that you're willing to accept us and to bring us in. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. And we do pray, you know, during this time where we're hunkering down, you know, and gathering with family, that this would be a time that we could truly, like Daniel, pray, seek the Lord, and grow close to him. And be delivered from the mouth of the lion, because we believe. God bless.
Thanks for joining us today. To learn more about the Springs Calvary Chapel, please visit our website at www.thespringscalvarychapel.org. Join us in person at the Springs in Heyburn, Idaho, or here on the podcast as we worship together in spirit and in truth.